The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance. Lance is back. Along with Dell, at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at Dell V2-713-780-3776. A lot to talk about from this weekend.
And so much I missed. I mean, I kept up vaguely with the... I tried to check out as much as possible, but, you know, you just kind of check in on the Astros. Like, okay, everything's fine. Didn't love the last couple of... the White Sox, and then, you know,
No one,
I'm going back a couple series on you, but
yeah, no one loved the last couple of games of the White Sox.
No, but then I'm three like, okay, well, I'm not really missing too much in Houston sports, and then all of a sudden the SEC stuff breaks, and I'm following that through Twitter. My wife is a Longhorn, you know, who's very anti-SEC, this and that. How she's like, ah, look at these nerds cheering SEC. So now she has to contend with her own, you know, anti-SEC biases. I'm watching the arguments on Twitter between Aggies and Longhorns. Like,
that's fun.
It's ugly, ugly stuff.
It's so much fun.
And then, out of nowhere, over the weekend, Deshaun Watson says, oh, yeah, and I'm showing up at camp, too. So, see you on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And, which, by the way, I'm supposed to go get a, I don't have time today, but I'm supposed to go get a, as a tier two person going to practices, I have to have a negative COVID test every 2 weeks. I have to get tested at the facility. So at 10 every
I didn't get that.
2 weeks.
I didn't get nothing. Where's mine?
I think Cal heard you saying bad things.
Do what? I never said anything bad about our Houston Texans or Cal McNair.
You called him Caldor.
Utmost respect. Utmost respect for the organization, for everything that Deshaun stands for. And what he stands for is not losing $50,000.
That is, make no mistake. One guy on Twitter said, you don't know that, Lance. I said, this is all about.
It's all
this
about.
This is all about stop. Not getting fined. Staying fined for ego. You don't know that. I think this is the beginning of him that he's decided there's no way he wins this. He has no leverage, and he's going to be back under center. I said, this is not
the case.
If that's what you think it is, that's going to be cool for you for a while to work some spitball some things in your own head. But let me tell you what it is. It's 100%. If I show up, they can't find me. If I don't show up, they can take $50,000 per day. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the legal defense fund of Deshaun Watson has drained some of his bank account. And Deshaun's not trying to lose $50,000 a day.
Nope.
And I think what the best case scenario is for Team Deshaun, meaning Deshaun Watson, is the Texans go, oh, this is uncomfortable. Why don't you just stay home and we won't find you? I think that Deshaun would love for it to be uncomfortable enough that the Texans say, you go home and we will not find you. However, what will be interesting is if former Patriot Nick Caserio and that team does not mind a little bit of uncomfortableness, the Patriots, if he says, you know what? Glad to have you back. Tell you what, we're going to run you with the threes and you're going to be here and you're going to have to take media questions and you're going to have to go through this process every day because, by the way, you can't just skate past media stuff availability or you get fined for that too. So, Deshaun, you want to make it uncomfortable enough for us to send you home? We're going to make it uncomfortable enough for that you have to deal with it.
Unless Deshaun starts talking about, as soon as Deshaun meets the media and starts talking about how stupid the owner is, now it's gotten uncomfortable the other way.
Doesn't matter. I'm just here for all of it.
Yeah. Oh, no. Hey, listen.
Y'all do what y'all going to do.
No.
I already know Deshaun's never playing again for the Texans.
Yeah.
This is just for fun now.
Yeah.
This is just for our entertainment.
So, you know, the thought was, and listening to the show before ours, it was correct in that there's nobody ever been put on the commissioner's exempt list in the preseason. You don't get paid in the preseason. There's basically you're getting $1,000 a week or something like this. It's nothing. Well, it's nothing. It's nothing for those guys, relatively speaking. So usually the exempt list comes up during the regular season when the big money comes up. So no one has ever been on the exempt list in the preseason. So here's the deal. It's the commissioner's office now, and we're waiting for, hey, guys, do something, do something. But the fact of the matter is, is that maybe they can't. Because you'll remember the woman that was investigating, that was the New York State Attorney General, or she was the investigator for the Attorney General's office, you'll remember? And now she's in charge of investigating NFL.
Yeah.
So she's already done her investigation. We heard that she was disrespectful, according to Tony Busby. She was disrespectful to the defendants.
I think she asked questions in a tone they didn't like.
Yeah, whatever the case. However she was. But this is what the exempt list says. Leave with pay. A player may be placed on paid administrative leave pursuant to the commissioner exempt list under either of the following circumstances. First, when a player is formally charged with blah, 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 which we know Deshaun has not been formally charged with anything. The formal charges may be in the form of an indictment by a grand jury, the filing of charges by a prosecutor, or an arraignment in a criminal court. That hasn't happened. So we know it's not the first one. Second, when an investigation leads the commissioner to believe that a player may have violated this policy by committing any of the conduct identified above, he may act where the circumstances and evidence warrant doing so. This decision will not reflect a finding of guilt or innocence and will not be guided by the same legal standards and considerations that would apply in a criminal trial. So apparently, as of now, the league does not believe that this investigation has led to the has led them to believing that the player violated any offense, any felony charge. And third, in cases which a violation relating to a crime of violence is alleged but further investigation is required, the commissioner may place a player on the exempt list. They've already done their investigation. And apparently, now maybe there's more because Tony Busby shut down them interviewing defendants. And oh, by the way, it doesn't do any good for the defendants to talk to the NFL. They don't have to. And you know what? We've seen with but from other lawyers saying, it's not good. Don't do it. Do not get on the record with the NFL about your case because it doesn't help you in the least. So maybe the league doesn't believe that they can suspend him.
Here's what I've heard is going on. The league is simply waiting for now. Yeah, now in terms of suspending now,
yes.
I don't know that he does go on the NFL. I don't think they're going to give him a free pass so that he avoids this. I don't think the NFL is going to use this. I think Deshaun would love this as a free pass to get paid avoid it. I think my guess is the league has reached out to the Texans, and the Texans have made some kind of comment like, hey, you know, this is not – the Texans do not want Deshaun to just get free money from them. And I can understand as an employer. He's getting all the – he's got this. As a matter of fact, I think they may potentially go after his signing bonus at some point. I don't know what success they'll have. The best chance they have is him not showing up and fining, and he's already taken that away, at least for today.
Yeah.
What I've heard is that the scuttlebutt is that the league is simply waiting for their suspension is going to be game suspension, and they're simply waiting for the police to come out and say there are no formal charges, criminal charges against them. Once there are no criminal charges, the league will move forward with their own suspension because they do have precedent with not only Ben Roethlisberger but Ezekiel Elliott,
Antonio Brown.
Right. They have precedent to work off of. So. But they do need to wait to see if there's criminal charges. So I think once the DA side, who really, I think Deshaun's side is a little bit surprised it's taken so long. But once the DA side comes out and says, and I believe the case is going to be there are no criminal charges, if and when that happens, I think the league will start to move forward with the penalty phase of game suspensions. I don't think they're going to put them on the exempt list. I think they're going to force Deshaun to... Look, this is...
No, listen, we've talked about this before. The worst possible scenario for the Texans is exempt list. Not only do you have to pay him for a guy that doesn't want to be there anyway, but his contract starts ticking. The clock ticks on the contract. Now, if he stays away and doesn't show up, the clock doesn't start ticking on the contract. Now, if he shows up, though, he has made it so... It made it so awkward that the Texans actually have to move. Allegedly, the Texans have made it known... Are they? And this is—I don't think that this is just a reaction to yesterday, where Deshaun showing up with the quarterbacks, is that they have let it and been known. Hey, Deshaun's on the—he's who wants him? Anybody want him? Three first rounders. Anybody want him? Who wants them? Who wants Deshaun? Come get some. And you know what? Nobody's budging yet. And it may take a little while. I guess Philadelphia, but I don't know how in the world you can possibly, until the criminal investigation plays itself out, until the police department says we are not charging him formally, I don't see any way, shape, or form that you can trade for him.
No. And I think, once again, it's just not in the Texans' best interest. You are really selling low if you do that. You need to wait until more teams are going to be interested. Deshaun still has no trade clause, so he still has to be okay with going to any team that is out there. Adam Schefter can put whatever he wants about Philadelphia. If Deshaun doesn't want to go there, it's irrelevant. I mean, so there's still all of that. We have to revisit all the things we've talked about in the past almost as a refresher because we haven't had a lot of Deshaun Watson talk. But, you know, the Texans, if Deshaun Watson were to get 6 and argue it down to 4, like Ben Roethlisberger mm-hmm. did, oh, there would be teams interested this year.
Oh, yeah.
But to do that, that would need to come out here pretty quickly. Like, we'd need to see something in the preseason where where the NFL says, okay, we're suspending him for this amount of games. Because teams don't like, they're not going to want to add Deshaun Watson in the middle of a season before trade deadline and have no practice with him, he has no install.
Well, ideally you wouldn't want to, but we've seen plenty of times. We saw it here.
Well, the team could get him cheap. Absolutely.
Well, no. I mean, even if you're paying for him, because you got 5 years on this deal. So it's not like it's a rental. You know that you're going to have this, whatever it is, 3, 4, 5, half a season, whatever the case may be, plus 4 more years on top of it, at least with Deshaun Watson. But we've seen guys come in. We saw Brandon Weeden come in here in a week and beat the Indianapolis Colts. It's not ideal, but I could certainly see them trading him in the season.
I can't see there being enough value.
And a half years left on the deal?
No. I don't think there's enough value. I think the teams, you need more horses in the race. If there's just a team, then you're going to give it. You need to have 2 or 3 excited teams about dealing for Deshaun, because it's just like a marketplace for a house. Like, if only one person, you know, you know, right now you have people who are listing houses. You'll see them like, wow, that's pretty competitive. They're doing that so that they have the multiple offers.
I get that, but you don't think that there's more than one team that wants him? Denver?
I think that
Miami.
I don't think that they would offer you. I don't think that they would offer you the best deal right now. I think after the season, the deal gets much, much better.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
If I'm the Texans, I'm not in any hurry just to get something right now. I want the best.
Yeah.
This is, you are never, you're having to give away, you're trading your Carlos Correa in his prime. You're trading away, not Correa, Jose Altuve in his prime. I mean, I'm trying to think, Correa's been about potential. Altuve's been a 200-hit guy. This is you trading away your Hakeem Olajuwon as he's entering his prime. You do not take 65 cents.
Well,
for this.
No, but okay, 3 first rounders.
Well, I mean, yeah,
gives you those 3 firsts.
I still want a little more because I know where the firsts are going to be. They're not going to be as great. But yeah, if Philly's willing to give 3 first rounders, and if that's the start jump off point and you know it's 3 firsts are involved, well, yeah. Well, then my argument about not having value is invalid, because that's, to me, yeah,
that's
okay,
right.
Well, then he has value. That's mm-hmm. fine. That's fine. I move him out of here. I take the first. I try to get a second out of it, too, and then we move forward.
Right.
100%. No, if Philly's willing to do that, all right, well, okay.
Then we can talk.
That's great.
All right, 714 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I don't want to play in that trash-ass city.
At,
unless he drops
it. I like that dirty-ass trash-ass city.
It is a dirty-ass trash-ass city, but we still, are the kids going to school right now?
No.
That's right.
Bible school. Vacation Bible school.
Well, there you go. So we shouldn't be saying that, Del. Thank you for not playing that anymore.
Man, I don't care about those fake ass Young Life kids. No, they be doing the most.
By the way,
put that stupid sticker on the back of their car.
What if they're really dedicated?
My kids are
followers.
My kids had a very short conversation about Del.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll do.
Who made it short, Marty?
How about the Astros sweep on the other side?
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Yeah, I'd like to lead with the Astros sweep.
And, oh, by the way, a pretty difficult road trip coming up. Yeah. Coming your way right now. But first, what about kids and cars?
Cars for Kids is a group that you have heard of for years and years. You know the jingle. But I'm here to tell you that, you know, Houston Can Academy is the people who benefit from Cars for Kids. That's who they have partnered with. And it gives kids a second chance at a diploma. So it's really a great opportunity for them. And it's a great opportunity for you to help. And listen, you may look at Cars for Kids as nothing more than a disposal company who's like, man, how do I get rid of this old car, truck, or motorcycle that doesn't even work anymore? Well, I'm glad you asked, because carsforkids.org will come out there and they'll haul it away for you. You don't have to do anything. You just call them up and they'll take care of it from there. Go to carsforkids.org. They want to give you a $50 Visa gift card when you mention ESPN 97.5, but you also get a tax write-off, which is great. You get a write-off the car and not the kid. This is your chance to help, and you should absolutely do it. For more information, go to carsforkids.org.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, the Astros head to Seattle for three. Seattle playing some pretty good baseball. 9-4 over their last 13.
Yeah.
Just swept the A's, which puts the Astros 5.5 games up on the A's after the Astros swept the Rangers. Didn't look great sweeping the Rangers, but the Rangers are a pain in the ass to the Astros anyway. Although you're 8-3 against them this year.
Did you see the Rangers? Did you see the stat they had that the Rangers currently have the longest streak since 1920 of not leading in a baseball game?
Well,
they took the lead.
They took the lead.
They took the
yesterday.
Lead. We broke the stat. Yeah,
but it was since July 10th.
Yeah.
July 10th until yesterday.
They had not had a lead.
They had not had a lead in a baseball game. Okay. During this 40 game, how many have they lost in a row now? Like 50 or 60 games in a row, whatever it is. During their 13 game losing streak, I think it is. It's 12 game losing streak. There, it's like the other team was averaging almost a 10 runs and they're averaging 2. It's like one of the worst runs in baseball history that they're on. Not leading in a game since July 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. That is awful. That is simply awful. And it's so good to see. So good to see. Yeah, they led 1-0 in this game. Then the Astros came right back in the bottom of the fifth, took the lead, and never relinquished it. But finally, the Rangers had a lead in a baseball game. Just unbelievable how bad that baseball team is. And yeah, they're I think they're a half a game ahead of Baltimore, but they're the worst team.
I went away on vacation, which wasn't that long ago, it's actually I left on that Friday. So as soon as the show was over, I was on the road. So I've been, even though I was gone last week, I was actually gone Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Like, I've been away a while. And you weren't on the show that Friday. So the last time we were together, we were looking at a lineup that was had a lot of hitters a lot closer to 300 than they are now, either over 300. Like the Astros lineup, Yordan has come back down to earth. Carlos Correa has fallen way back down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
When you went on your vacation, it was closer to 900
2
OPS.
For 40?
Yeah, that'll do that. The OPS down in seven or low 800s now. So the hitting has stalled out a little bit. Uncle Mike kind of made a little bit of a bounce back. Tuve's doing what he does. But Yordan, the entire lineup has slowed down a little bit from where they had been. And Fromber, this is a little bit of a concern. I know this isn't yesterday's game, but over the weekend, Fromber, in terms of people hitting the baseball, did pretty well. But in terms of him locating the strike zone, it was really, really bad. And this is a concern right now, early in the game. Yeah. But this is a concern because we've seen this. This is how you get knocked out of games with a 5-run second inning, and you're done, and your team is done for the day. Fromber, for whatever reason, has gone back to the version of Fromber early in his career, 2018 Fromber, where he is struggling. He's putting men on base, and he's having to pitch out of jams because he's just not finding his finding the strike zone and locating where he wants to. And it's got to be a mental thing because last year he was great at it. He was great, and so now this is a big concern because he was going to be – this was your ace. This is your ace, and this is now like – Five games in a row where he has had some unusual control issues. Well, this is a pattern now. This is not a short-term, you know, a very small sample size. This is a legitimate pattern, and it's one that you have to be worried about because men are on base, and he is having to really work hard getting out of it early in games. And I don't know. I didn't see last week from where I was in Colorado, but did – I mean, has Strom talked about this? Has Click? Has Dusty? Has anyone talked about what's going on with him from a mental makeup standpoint? Because something's going on.
Well, no, I mean he settled down though, and when you throw a no hitter over six innings, it's hard to nitpick. Yeah. Well, no, obviously it was difficult, but Kyle Gibson was so
and that's
bad.
A terrible team, by the way.
Kyle Gibson was so bad. He was the headline of how wild he was, and that's a dude that had been dominating you. So got through that. But there's a couple of good sound bites. Greinke yesterday. Greinke goes six, gets into the seventh inning. And loads the bases with nobody out. And Greinke was none too pleased when Dusty came out. It's the very first one that they sent. Greinke was none too pleased with Dusty coming out and getting him. As a matter of fact, you don't hear Greinke talking like this. He loaded the bases with nobody out. And afterwards, he talked about how pissed off he was that Dusty came out and got him. You don't have it? No. We'll find it anyway. But it was interesting. And then Dusty talked about going to get Christian Javier, a guy who doesn't throw strikes. You want to talk about coming in, bearing down on this is of all of the guys to bring in. Christian Javier, the way that he comes in,
I know,
and Dusty even said it. He said, usually, you know, it takes him a little while to settle in. You know, he'll get a couple of runners on and then get out of it. But I needed him to come in with the bases loaded. I usually don't do that. Needed him to come in and take care of business here. And sure enough, we want to talk about that was one of the most clutch pitching performances we've seen this season. Because yeah, you can't lose to the Rangers. You just can't, especially with the way that the Mariners. The Mariners are playing right now. They're right on the A's heels. You're heading to the Mariners, then you're going to San Francisco, and then you're going to Dodgers. Three of the best teams that are playing the best baseball in baseball right now. So you got another stretch here where you can prove exactly, you know, that you're the best team in they're tied with the Red Sox right now for the best team in the league. This is a great team. You got Greinke? Here's Greinke talking about being pulled in the seventh.
Not as many strikes as I want to throw. And it was all right. It wasn't like super sharp, but didn't make too many mistakes over the middle.
Now that wasn't it. That was him talking about, about.
He sounded
about
pissed.
No, he was pissed. He was pissed.
Zach Greinke, does he elevate his voice beyond that?
Zach Greinke, I'm telling you, we'll play it on when we come back. We'll play it on the other side, and then Dusty talking about bringing in Christian Javier as well. We'll get that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. There's a lot of stuff to do. We got some Olympics talk. We got Deshaun reporting. We got the Astros coming up on a series that is just huge. This over the next 10 days or so. That we got all on the road and all against really, really good teams. So that is going to be fun. There's other NFL news as well. And then SEC guy is going to be joining us at 8:30. Yeah. And an hour from now, SEC guy is going to be joining us to talk about OU and Texas. Or is it Texas and OU?
It's considered, in my household, it's considered Texas OU.
Well, yeah, but I like to say.
In the SEC, I don't know. That's a good question too. Do you have to just one said before the other? based on, you know, I'm curious to see how the SEC, they care about how it's...
Well, you know how Texas is going to look at that.
Now, no, Texas is always...
Anytime you're talking about the standings, you're always going to say, oh, you first.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But anytime you're... But Texas likes you to say Texas and OU.
Yeah, I missed out on... You know, I want to get into this here after the break. I haven't even had a chance to talk about this at all.
No, and you also
except for the Longhorn wife.
And you also said that your kids had something, a short conversation about Dell.
Yeah, yeah. I can do it now for you. Won't last long.
It won't last long?
No.
Okay.
We were just...
What was the conversation about Dell that your kids
had? It was briefly... We were in these canoes, and it was me, Snacks, and Mason were in one, and then the other one, the terrible canoe that couldn't stay straight, was Alec, my wife, and my daughter. And so we were by each other. We were just grabbing something to eat or whatever. We're just grabbing our little lunches while we're in our canoes. And somebody said something. Snacks brought something up about that was said on the show, and Marty brought up the fact that Dell used to be higher up, and then but now he, because he's inappropriate, he's lower in the rankings for her than she used to be. And then they're talking about, well, isn't Dell also, Dell knows a lot about college football, and they start talking. I said, wait, I said it occurred to me. I said, have you guys ever seen Dell? No, I guess they haven't been up here. I said, what do you think Dell looks like? What do you think Dell like? I'm just curious what you think Dell looks like. And Snacks is the only one who answered. Well, Snacks and Mason were trying to guess, and Snacks goes, well, I think he's going to be more light-skinned like Trevor Ariza. So for some reason, he was Trevor Ariza. and then Mason goes, yeah, and I think he's going to be, he'll have like kind of higher hair. He's got more hair, like needs a haircut. And Snacks says, no, I think he's going to be balding with glasses. Mm. So, balding with glasses.
Trevor Ariza, balding with glasses.
Kind of a Trevor Ariza.
Snacks is dead on this thing.
That was his.
I mean, he hit the nail right on the head.
When he hears your voice, he's thinking, glasses, balding, Trevor Ariza.
Yeah.
And Mason thinks you wear.
Light-skinned.
Like, Mason thought you wear flat-brimmed hats and have more hair. He thinks of you as a younger person, you know, dressing kind of in your skate stuff. Snacks, I mean, for some reason, had to come out
that's
with
accurate too, probably.
With a Trevor Ariza. He had to start with Trevor Ariza on the canvas, which I'm not sure where that came from.
Why is your multicultural family discussing me on vacation?
I don't know. To this day, I'm trying to remember, like, how did we get into this? But somehow your college football stuff, like, they must have heard, somehow it came up that you know about college football. And it must have been probably the SEC stuff. Is probably how it started.
Well, no,
I'm
he's
like,
got
why
a
are y'all
podcast.
Bringing
they know. I mean, we've talked about his podcast.
They don't know
before.
About his podcast.
They might, if they've heard the show, he's got a podcast.
They just know Dell. it resembles
kids,
Trevor Ariza somehow.
Your kids find more podcasts than you know. They especially sports podcasts. They probably hear Dell talking about.
Actually,
it's not
Alex
something
does,
I would want to listen
Alex
to, but
recently,
huh?
They haven't heard it recently. It'll start back up as the season gets closer. I just don't appreciate the conversation.
I didn't either.
Me either.
Do to they be know, honest with you?
Did they say what I looked like on this trip?
They
no?
know what
no.
you look like. You've been at their home.
Oh yeah,
they've been at your home. I don't know how that goes.
But. Oh yeah, that's true. That is true. 7:31 ESPN 97.5 and at 92.5. When we come back, we'll hear from Frankie and.
Yeah, can we get into the Texans' big trade?
We're going to talk about the Texans' big trade.
Yeah.
Yeah, they acquired another little wide receiver.
Oh, yeah, there's a big trade in the battle.
Big trade.
In the battle for wide receiver 4 that turns into wide receiver 2.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But first, let's talk about some insurance.
Let's talk about TGS insurance. It's been a week since I've been able to tell people how they can save money. And the best way to do it in volume is on your homeowner's insurance. Look, I wouldn't mind saving you $10 a month. It adds up to $120, but you know, the average savings is $900 annually that's the average savings. Of course, there's lots of places where it's more than that. $900 annually, that's about $75 a month that they are going to save you. That is a great savings. When you're saving that much money, it's a great opportunity for you to put that back in your pocket. And I'm not talking about you getting discount insurance. I'm talking about A-rated insurance. These are underwriters who offer A-rated insurance. And for a lot of these companies, they may be involved with underwriting larger companies that have the big advertising budget you hear about. Well, you're going to go right to the source, get the A-rated insurance, but get it at a competitive price. And they make it super easy to make the switch, but they make it super easy to get the information first and foremost. All you have to do is text the word money to 232323. Text the word money to 232323. And my friends will send you an automated text back. They get your address, and they will send you within seconds a quote, absolutely free, no strings attached, of what your homeowner's insurance could be annually. So make sure that you go to tgsinsurance.com or text the word money to 232323.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It was great. I was in one of the worst moods I've been in, getting taken out in that situation, pitching bad that inning. So I was in such a bad mood. It couldn't quite change it. I was feeling really upset, but I mean, it was great. I felt better after that than if something else would happen.
Yeah, he felt real good that Christian Javier was able to get out of a bases loaded, nobody out jam and strike out, and then a double play ball by their arguably the best hitter, Connor Falefa. So it is Javier came in, saved the day for Greinke, who said he was pissed off. Now, Dusty bringing in Javier with the bases loaded and nobody out didn't seem like the optimal move for a bringing in a guy who has control problems, mighty control problems of late. And yet you needed a guy with a whip like Christian Javier to get the strikeout and then induce the double play ball. It could not have worked out better the way for Javier to come in. But going into that, when Javier's walking in from the bullpen, you're like, holy crap, is this what you really want to do? But Dusty said, yep, this is what I really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
For Christian to come in and shut him down, I could have led to a big inning. I mean, bases loaded, nobody out. And so I'm just glad he threw strikes. He got behind 3-1 to White and then ended up coming back and striking him out. So, I mean, that was huge. He threw great.
Yeah, he threw great. He was it was unbelievable. I think he did go on to say something about, yeah, he has struggled in the past with strikes, so that was really good. That he usually takes him a couple of batters to get warmed up when he comes in. He didn't have time for that. No time for that. So great job by Christian Javier.
You really undersold the anger and frustration in the tone of Zach Greinke.
Well, it's not really a tone guy. But he did say twice, he said, I've never been, I was in a really, really bad mood when I was.
Terrible mood. So, that is so sad. I couldn't wait to see, is Zach going to really get fired up?
No, fired up for him.
Yeah, you have to, like, he's a transcript guy. You have to read the transcript to know what Zach, because if you just listen, he could say, I can't believe I just won the Powerball Lotto, and so I'm not going to be pitching for the Astros anymore. And so, my location and the curveball stuff's not going to be as important as it was in terms of my speed of getting a ball up and down the zone. Wait. Okay, I got lulled into submission when you hypnotized me. Did you say you won a Powerball lottery?
Yes. Won the Powerball lottery.
$6 million. So
yeah.
Okay, I missed that part. But that's you're retiring from the... that right now?
Well, that's him. When he was running around and happy about Altuve's three-run homer, that wasn't that different than you'd ever seen him?
He had a smile.
He did.
I've seen him smile a few times. I have seen him smile.
Yeah, yeah, but it's usually when he's sitting on a bench eating sunflower seeds.
I'm not going to say too much about this, but I spoke with a real estate agent who was helping to find Zach a place to live when he first got traded here, and I think she was put off a little bit by his attitude, but I just don't. You know, here we are a couple years removed from that when he was traded over, and I realized, okay, you just didn't have any idea about, like, we didn't really know this Zach. Now it's not a big deal. Like, okay, you took Zach the wrong way because he's not like the other players that you have dealt with in terms of. Zach is not going to be like anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not. And so I could see how somebody who expects things to go a certain way with a conversation is going to feel like Zach is a lot different, because he is. I think you just have to know how to take him. And this real estate agent is just like, it was challenging.
That's a good word.
It was challenging. You know, and you can take it the wrong way. I think she may have taken it, you know, like Zach was mad or like Zach was more difficult to deal with. I just think you just dealt with Zach Greinke. He's just, there's not going to be certain filters in place for him, but on the other end of it, he also is going to tell you exactly what he's thinking. And I think that it's not, you know, like you said, it's not really how he says it, it's what he says.
Yeah.
And if you read what he says,
you would be like, wow, he was pissed off. And then you hear
him. Well, that's why he was almost matter of fact about being mad for a long time about how A.J. Hinch handled him, pulling him out of games.
Yeah.
We had never heard it before, and he just kind of almost matter of factly is the way it sounded like, yeah, I mean, Nobody trusts me around here.
So
they just pull me out of all the games. Like, whoa, has this been an issue for a while now?
Apparently it is. Astros on the road. Big, big road trip. Mariners, Giants, and Dodgers. Teams that are playing as well as anybody right now. So Mookie Betts has gone on the IL with an eat injury. So that is, well, I don't want to say that's good news, but we'll see whether or not. I'm not sure if it's 10 days. We'll see whether or not he's back. So there's that. Astros with the sweep. And you had to sweep the Rangers. That's just a piss poor baseball team.
Yeah,
just
no choice.
That's just awesome. You had to sweep them. So you had that. You also had, we haven't even touched on, how about the Olympic basketball team? Evan Fournier took care of business. They went 0-for the last 6 minutes of the game, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
It was about as they had five straight shots at the basket with offensive rebounds. Five straight shots that they all missed. They were pitiful. They're pitiful offensively, and there's talk that they're none too pleased with the San Antonio offense. You know,
the players have complained, I guess, privately. Listen, we're in an era where the players are going to get their thoughts.
Yeah.
Even after a game, they're going to get their thoughts out and make it known to others. And while Pop is considered the cool uncle, you know, because he does speak to the issues that concern most of the players off the court in terms of the social justice issues, Pop is also the same guy who Kawhi Leonard didn't want to play for at the end. Pop is also the same guy who did badmouth. You know, he had some old school guys in Manu, Tony Parker, and also obviously Tim Duncan, that he would get after them. I sat behind Pop one time. I got tickets from the Rockets a while back, and me and my kids sat behind the Spurs. Spurs stunk at this time, and we were behind their bench. And Pop at one point, and I don't remember who the player was, Pop at one point said, you know, why do you make me do this to you? He pulled somebody out of the game very quickly. The guy had been in for 2 minutes. He goes, do you just want me to effing take you out of the game? Is that why you do stuff like this? Because you hate basketball and you hate being a Spur? Is that why you do stupid stuff like this? So I have to take you out of games? I mean, why do you play such bad basketball? And I mean, he was berating. And all I could think of was, you know, everyone sees the Pop, long-haired Pop that has been really at the forefront of issues that are close to the players. But the reality is, I don't know that he's a player's coach. I really don't know that's going
to
be the case.
Well, and players apparently were grumbling on their way back to the locker room about running the San Antonio offense. Listen, hit shots. They were open. They had open looks.
Give me a break about the offense and play.
So what do you think Pop's record is in international play?
Probably really, really good.
Really? Is 6-3 really, really good in international play? When before other than him?
Wait, you're not talking about the exhibition games, are you?
No, games that count.
Okay,
World Championship.
He's 6-3?
6-3. And Team USA went 73-3 in meaningful games from 96 to 2016. And he's 6-3. So it ain't like Pop is actually, it's pretty piss poor if you want to know the truth. And not the exhibition games don't even count. And guess what? They're getting their ass kicked in exhibition games.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I just, this has been coming for a long time. We know that. This is not something that's new. The U.S. team has really, you can look at it literally from the Dream Team, which is a long time ago. And ever since that point, there has been a steady decline or a closing of the gap, I should say, between international and national.
Patrick Ewing said that. Patrick Ewing said that after this loss. He said, you know, everybody looks at the Dream Team and says we should be dominating everybody. When we were, when 92, when we were on the Dream Team, there weren't that many good international players.
There weren't.
Now, there's good international players all over.
That was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been completely, you think about who were the international players in the league 30 years ago. Well, it was, you know, a player from Lagos, Nigeria, and Olajuwon, and he was toward the end of his, oh, no, actually, Dream went toward the end of his career. Still
no.
Very, very good. No, Dream was on the 96 team, but yeah, 92, in 92 Dream Team, but Dream wasn't on it. But yeah, it was, you know, you had guys like him and Mutombo. We didn't have, Dirk wasn't on a team back then.
No.
Dirk didn't play basketball. He wasn't an NBA player. The Dream Team was the team that created the excitement internationally for young kids to start trying. The Dirk Nowitzkis were watching the Dream Team like, I want to be. Yeah. You know, I was already watching Michael Jordan. I want to be like this.
No, that was Oscar Schmidt.
Yeah.
In Brazil. Yeah.
Like, it's Andrew, who is that? The guy who played at Seton Hall, who is the three-point shooter from Australia. You just didn't have international. Now, there's a lot of really, really, really good international players. Did you see Draft Express? Did you see the video of Giannis from 8 years ago? It's amazing that Giannis, that it's only been 8 years ago. He looks like such a young pup. And Draft Express and Jonathan Givony is talking to him about, what do you want to be? You know, he traveled overseas to Greece or whatever to talk to him. And what do you want to be? Ultimately, I want to be an NBA player. And, you know, here he is, two-time MVP. But that's an example. Some kid from Greece is now one of the most dominant players. Right now, the most dominant player in the league is from Greece.
All right, Gulf Coast Chevy right now. Let's talk about Craig DeSurf.
Jokic is second, by the way.
And
when
we come back, let's get back on this Deshaun trade.
Working
and Texans.
We got a trade.
There's a huge trade that we haven't even talked about yet.
Well, okay, they had a huge trade. And then I'm working on getting Tom Pelissero from NFL Network, who's one of the guys who broke the information about the Texans, now officially being open to trading Deshaun Watson. We'll try to talk to him about what that price tag may look like. I want to tell you about what the price tag is going to look like for you for Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. And that really is going to vary from vehicle to vehicle. I can tell you now, it's amazing. You know, the car industry has had the cars are flying off the lots, the pre-owned and the new vehicles. If you have a low mileage pre-owned vehicle, they will give you so much money for your pre-owned vehicle. And I had a friend of mine who took his, well, actually is my wife's friend. They took their car in and they could not believe how much they got for their pre-owned vehicle. And the same thing could be true with you. They're going to buy your car and they're going to give you more money than anyone else for your car at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. And when it comes to the selection out there, they're going to make sure that you get, it used to be one of these times where you had a lot full of vehicles. They don't really do that anymore in the car buying and the car dealer with car dealerships. They are getting them. This is pretty much every dealership. When they come in, they are sold very, very quickly. In some cases, they're being sold right now through the internet, so you can get your hands on vehicles that they're going to have coming in maybe in a week. That's why I suggest you go to LanceZCars.com. It's a very competitive market right now. So get in at LanceZCars.com and find a vehicle you want and get top dollar for your trade-in value. Make sure that you go to Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton or LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Oh, before we get to Deshaun, New York Times has a story today. South Korea, apparently, you know, everybody does their own broadcast, right, of the games. They pick up the NBC feed, but you get to add your commentator, or you get to add to whatever the broadcast is. During the opening ceremonies, apparently, when the Italians walked in, they put up a picture. While the Italians were walking in, they put up a picture of a pizza. While the Italians are walking in, then... While the Russians, the Ukraine team is walking in, they put up Chernobyl.
Oh, no.
And then when the Romanians were walking in, they put up Count Chocula. Yeah. Apparently, it was, and they did it with all of the, Romania. There's an image. Oh, I'm sorry. Not Chocula. Count Dracula.
I was about to say, yeah. Count Chocula, the fictional serial character?
Yeah. Well, I thought, yeah, it would have been better if they used Count Chocula. They used Count Dracula.
Yeah, read that about, we're going to re-examine
When Malaysia's turn came in, they showed a graphic of the country's coronavirus vaccination rate. Congratulations there. South Korea had to apologize to all of the countries for putting in stereotypical pictures, or at least pictures that they believed described the countries. So congratulations, South Korea. This sounds more like something. And North Korea probably would have leaned into it. Said, I don't give a rat's ass what you think about what we do. That's what we do. But South Korea apologized. Inappropriate images. So speaking of inappropriate, Deshaun Watson has reported to Texans camp. Quarterbacks reported yesterday. Deshaun Watson has reportedly reported. And here's the deal. Chris Mortensen has come out, and Chris Mortensen says this. For Deshaun Watson, the Texans' price has been some combination of 5 high draft picks and starting caliber players per 2 league executives. So, in other words, 3 picks and 2 players, 2 picks and 3 players, whatever the case may be, it's a combination of high draft picks and starting caliber players, 5 players. And that's the starting point for the Houston Texans, which is pretty good. That's, you know what? You take that. You know that Philadelphia, if Deshaun gets to Philadelphia, now Philadelphia wasn't very good. And hey, listen, the Texans weren't very good with Deshaun. I guess I'm not certain that just because Deshaun is there, that Philadelphia is all of a sudden going to turn into a playoff team.
Yeah. No, but listen, I was not a big fan of Hurts in the second round. I think he's more of a fourth round backup to low end starter type. That's what I think he is. And I may be wrong, and I have no problem being wrong. I hope he does well for Philadelphia. It doesn't matter to me. I just want to be accurate. So if I miss on him, I miss on him. But my guess is that Philadelphia's in a tough spot because Philadelphia can look at themselves as, hey, our window of opportunity. Their window of opportunity is open right now because of the division they're in, I think. But if you really look at that team, they have an aging offensive line. They have a secondary that needs some work. The wide receiving core, they added Devontae Smith, which is great. But Jalen Reagor has to prove himself this year. The running back position might be okay with Miles Sanders. We'll see. But I think they understand that Hurts is not the kind of guy that can elevate an average group of players on offense to greatness. I don't know that Hurts is that guy. I do know that Deshaun Watson, I've seen Deshaun Watson do that. Deshaun Watson is that guy. So if you're Philadelphia, I completely get it. Once again, I'm going to say this again. I don't believe Deshaun Watson had Philadelphia on his list of teams he would be traded to before the Devontae Smith trade. If that's the case,
not trade.
Yeah, the pick. If that's the case, then is one 168 pound wide receiver enough to sway Deshaun Watson to say, "Oh, I like that team now. They added Devontae Smith. Devontae is a phenomenal talent." But is that one player enough for Deshaun Watson to say, Philadelphia is the team I want to go to? Because I'm not sure they made the list the first time around on the teams that he wanted to go to. I know Miami was on it, San Francisco was on it, Denver was on it. But this is going to be interesting because I think people are forgetting that Deshaun could potentially say no to a lot of teams out there, which would really... And so there is still a little bit of a game to be played with the Texans, where if the Texans really try to stick it to Deshaun, he could stick it to them. Or similarly, the Texans could say, look, if you don't open things up, Deshaun, we're going to have you sitting here for a long time. We'll have you sitting here in Houston doing nothing until we get the offer that we want. So both teams have to play ball a little bit. Deshaun's going to have to open up
a little bit. Don't you think Deshaun has realized that, you know, he's closed a lot of doors? And you know what? Now just get out of here. Get out of Houston because
he does not want to go to a place where he's stuck 5 years. I'm just telling you. That's what I've heard from people close to him, that he's not going someplace that he doesn't want to be for 5 years. And if that's the case, because wherever he goes.
Well, isn't anywhere more desirable than here? Isn't anywhere?
No, not necessarily. Well, I think that's not the question, though. He knows he's going somewhere. Right. He doesn't want to go just
also,
anywhere.
But he's also hurt. I mean, if he doesn't have any self-awareness, which apparently I don't know that he does.
I think Denver's a very real possibility. It just may not be until after the season's over.
Yeah, well.
I think Denver is a very real possibility. I think Deshaun wants to go there. I think they could be looking at Drew Lock in the same way that, I mean, Denver's probably saying, I mean, Drew Lock's just good enough to win 9 games with, and that may be about all we've got from Drew Lock. And they've got some talent over in Denver on the offensive side of the ball. So, I'm kind of curious. Once again, if Philadelphia is willing to offer you all that stuff, if they're willing to give you 3 firsts, as Tom Pelissero said in his report, where that it starts there. Hey, you may want to get rid of him right now. Take the 3 firsts and whatever else, and be done with it. That's fine. I think that's what his price tag is going to be. People who say his price tag is dead in the water, it's dead in the water right now. But trust me, it will come right back up as soon as the punishment phase is doled out by the NFL, and you know how long he's going to be missed. People are going to be all over Deshaun Watson. The idea that Deshaun Watson has no trade value is ridiculous. You just need to wait a certain amount of time. But Denver, there is a desire for Deshaun to be in Denver, and there was a desire for Denver to go after Deshaun. I also heard that Seattle was on the verge of making the Russell Wilson to Chicago trade, and Russell Wilson shut that down. So if they're willing to move away from Russell Wilson, I would have to believe that Deshaun Watson would be in play for Seattle as well. It's just, you know, they've dealt away draft picks for Jamal Adams. They're going to have to pay Jamal Adams a bunch of money. So I don't know if they can afford Deshaun, but if they move Russell Wilson, maybe they can. But I would say, you know, that's what I'm saying. I don't think people realize Pittsburgh's going to need a quarterback. New Orleans needs a quarterback, more than likely. Atlanta is going to need one. He's going to be a cat casualty, Matt Ryan. Russell Wilson in the Pacific Northwest, they were ready to move him out. I heard from a good source that he was going to be gone, and Russell's the one who backed out of that, and they ended up backing out of that. If they're willing to get away from Russell Wilson, Seattle could be in play.
Well, you're going to get, again, don't make a deal that's a bad deal for you. Do not make that deal. But let's not forget, if this clock ticks through this year, his cap hit, dead cap goes from $15 million to $40 million next year. From $15 to $40. So that's a big difference for the Texans to move a little bit quicker. Maybe take whatever from Philadelphia. Well, not whatever. You certainly want to do a big deal. But the dead cap hit from this year to next is huge. Huge. Another $25 million. Now, the cap is going to go up, but you also... You still don't want $40 million in dead cap with Deshaun next year.
Yeah.
Now, you could do it after June and split it up between 2 years, but then you got split it up in between 2 years of dead cap money. So there's another thing. 759 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Enough of this. Let's talk about hoops. Because, listen, the American... Well, let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about, you know... Let's talk about France. If you're French, you got to be excited about... All those of you Frenchies that are living in Houston right now have got to be excited about basketball. I mean, you got to be right now because of what your team did yesterday. Here's the deal. It doesn't matter. If you want to get your kids outside as opposed to sitting on their just playing video games all day long, you want them to be outside exercising, well, Dad, we can't enjoy a 10-foot goal. We're too short. We can't even reach the goal. We're too little, so it's not any fun. Well, how about lowering the goal for them? How about you can please your not only your kids but your wife, because it's going to be the best looking goal in the neighborhood. It's not going to be one of those with the paint that's chipping and the rim that's bent and no net. It's going to be a perfect goal. It's still the one that we had at our house. Still. Is a perfect goal, and this is, I don't know, 15 years later, and it can't be any better. So you're looking for the best product ever, it's at ProDunkHoops.com. You raise and lower the goal, you got the unrustable stanchion, you got the tempered glass backboard, it's all great. ProDunkHoops.com, tell Keith Tate, you heard it right here.
ESPN 97.5.